Welcome, everybody. Ian and I are back, and these have become essentially vocabulary discussions. We use different words to describe very nuanced things in football, and I'm sure we've all been in that situation where your wife brings, you know, her friend over, and her friend brings her boyfriend or her husband or whomever it may be, and they sit next to you on the couch and just talk absolute rubbish during the game while you're trying to enjoy something, and they're saying things that just don't make any sense. Well, we want you to be the educated fan that says things that make sense. So today we're going to be talking about personnel packages, formations. What are the differences between those two? So let's just get into it, Ian. When people start talking about formations and personnel packages, sometimes numbers get bandied about. The number 12, the number 11, the number 10. What is the difference between a personnel package or personnel and a formation?
Well, you hinted at the answer there and how you phrased the question, but your personnel package is who is on the field and your formation is where they are on the field. So okay. you could get into any formation, any personnel group. Like I saw Lane Kiffin last year use, he had receivers line up as tight ends for a play. And caught Georgia by surprise by doing that. He lined up, he had smaller players on the field, a bunch of receivers, but he lined them all, a bunch of them up as tight ends and ran the ball behind them when Georgia wasn't expecting it and couldn't line up against it properly. So you'd be like, is that guy a tight end? Well, on the roster, it says he's a receiver. And he's like 6'1", 190. So he's really a receiver. But right now, they're using a formation where he's a tight end. So this is where it gets a little tricky and nuanced. It's that everybody has their position on the roster, so to speak, and the position describes like their primary skill set. But, and so your personnel package lists what the guys are on the field, how many receivers, how many tight ends, how many running backs. But then you could just theoretically line up in any number of formations and put them wherever you want. And those formations have names, but people don't even use them very often, and they vary. But the personnel, the names of the personnel groupings are universal. So when you hear 10 personnel, 11 personnel, 12 personnel, that's describing what kind of people are on the field, and it's consistent for any team at any level of the game.
So in summation, the personnel package or the personnel, what's the best way to describe it? Would you call it a personnel package? Okay, great. Yeah, so a personnel grouping or package, when they start to use numbers, let's get into that specifically. So today we're going to be talking about a 12 personnel package. Break that down for me. What does that number mean? How does it work?
The 12, that number, the first number refers to how many running backs are on the field. And the second number refers to how many tight ends. It used to be that everybody's standard main package was 21. So two running backs and one tight end. And one of those running backs was the fullback.
Right.
And that was like most of the country used that. Nowadays, when teams play bigger, because if you're in 21 or if you're in 12, that's three players that are a running back or a tight end. And since you only have five skill players on the field at one time, because your quarterback and your five linemen is six, then in a 12 or a 21, you have two receivers. They don't get any numbering. You just have to use your math skills to figure out how many receivers are on the field. So 12 personnel replaced 21 personnel eventually. People said, why use a fullback when we could just use another tight end? Tight ends have a little more of a wider skill set than fullbacks do. So 12 has become the most common bigger personnel package. And when you say package, so you have a 12 personnel package, that means you have a chunk of your playbook with different formations and different plays that uses that requires that you have one running back and two tight ends on the field.
Right. And again, just to get into the vocabulary before we start actually looking at examples of some of this, you may also hear that certain personnel, let's get rid of that word, certain players have packages, right? So you may hear, read somewhere that says, oh, well, we've got a freshman quarterback. In this case, let's pretend it was Arch. Is Arch going to have a package of plays for this particular game? That doesn't necessarily correlate with the personnel package. Is that correct?
Right. In the defining characteristic of the an Arch Manning package or a freshman quarterback, X quarterback, is that freshman quarterback is in it.
Yeah.
Everything else. Right. So that'd be like another section of the playbook with its own formations and plays and maybe personnel packages, but the universe, the unifying theme of that section of the playbook is that it all involves this freshman quarterback, and it's built around either his specific skill set that has him on the field and or his specific limitations because he's a freshman.
Yep. Fair enough. All right, great. Let's hear from our sponsor, and then I want to get into how Sark implements and uses these different packages, specifically 12 today.
This video is brought to you by Lux Kitchen and Bath. Lux has been offering high-end kitchen and bathroom remodels for three generations throughout the greater Austin area. With five-star review after five-star review on Google and Facebook, and an A-plus rating from the Better Business Bureau, you can put your faith in Lux Kitchen and Bath's award-winning designers and skilled craftspeople to bring to life that dream vision of your special home. But that's not all. Lux's all-star team provides full remodels, large additions, and even commercial build-outs as well. So call Lux Kitchen and Bath at 833-358-LUX today. Or visit luxkitchenbath.com to discover where quality meets luxury and begin the process of transforming your home. Get a free quote today by calling 833-358-LUX. That's L-U-X-E. Or by visiting luxkitchenbath.com. Link in the description.
Okay, Ian. The 12 personnel package, we're talking two tight ends there. Where would you say this ranks in Sark's favorite personnel packages?
I think 12 was his favorite up until maybe the Arch Manning era. We'll see. Because Sark has always liked having a pocket passer.
Yep.
And if you watch our Spread 201 video informational, you learn that if you have a pocket passer, then you need either one blocking tight end on the field with him at all times, or else the defense is able to stop the run more easily because you don't have enough people to block their main defenders that they're going to put in position to stop the run. Sark loves 12 personnel because it allows him to put a big blocker on the field to help protect the quarterback, to help ensure that you can run the ball. And then also use a second tight end who's maybe a marginal blocker, but he's in a position now where his blocking assignments are easier because of the other blocking tight end. The big blocking tight end does the hard stuff. The smaller tight end does some of the easier blocking. And now he's a hybrid who can move around and be a weapon in the passing game, maybe block smaller people, create versatility and flexibility in the offense. Or at the end of a game, maybe you put even a second good blocking tight end in the game and you just start mowing people down if you're like sitting on a lead and you want to run out the clock. We've seen Sark do that. That was Sark's bread and butter in 2024.
Yep.
A lot of Texas's games that they won in the SEC were won by getting into 12 personnel and then just running the ball over and over again.
Yeah, that's where Wisner got a lot of his yards for sure.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, let's take an example of that since we're talking about the run. Let's go ahead and look at 12 personnel from the perspective of a run, specifically, again, duo. So we're just doing lots of fun plugs here for our other videos. So check out the video on Duo. That'll really break down why it's called Duo. But this is specifically coming out of the 12 personnel. So go ahead and break this one down for us here, Ian.
So we have, from left to right, your five offensive linemen, and then Gunnar Helm, And then just below Bevo's ear on the logo is Juan Davis. And Gunnar Helm and Juan Davis are both tight ends. When Texas would play with in 12 personnel, Gunnar Helm was the bigger guy, so he was the bigger blocker. Juan Davis was actually a very good blocker, but he was smaller, like 6'1", 240. He's really a glorified fullback, but we don't even really use that term anymore, so he's a tight end. And then they also have maybe Matthew Golden. I can't tell for sure. He's packed in tight as well. And what they're doing is they're using their extra tight ends to extend the line of scrimmage, create extra gaps that the defense has to put defenders up to fill so the running back can't just run straight through them. They create the opportunity for double teams because if the defensive line only has four guys on the line of scrimmage and you have seven as an offense, that means you have time and opportunity to double team people before you have to worry about blocking like the linebackers or whoever else. And then the duo run, which we explained, but the duo run is basically just double team as many people as you can. The running back goes straight ahead and he goes where the linebackers aren't. And traditionally duo is very much a 12 personnel play because to get a whole bunch of double teams and extend the surface like this, it helps to have extra big bodies. That's why the receiver is in there as well. It's just, let's just get everybody in there, pack everybody in. The running back is sure to find something. And if he does, because you've drawn in all the defenders up tight, there's a chance that he's going to get behind people and go for, you know, 70 or whatever.
If you're looking at this, if you're looking at this formation, you're seeing this number of big bodies up there. I mean, you have to believe that this is a run. Like, there's not a lot of mystery to this particular formation, is there?
Yeah. I mean, you mostly know, but there are, of course,
sure,
play action and RPOs to keep a defense honest. But, I mean, certainly, you know, you can take enormous sections of the playbook and just rip those pages out and burn them for this play because you know none of those things are happening.
Well, and you note, for those of you that are watching and not listening on Spotify, thanks for listening to the podcast. You'll note that the Mississippi State team has really loaded the box. I mean, they're reading run here too.
Yeah, they are giving it just a little bit of caution. Number 10 is a safety, and he's much closer than a safety normally would be. Because like you, he's surmising they're probably coming right at me. But he's still, 8 yards off the ball?
Yeah.
And whoever it is on the right that has a 2 on their jersey, that's another safety. You would hope from this alignment that you would get 3 to 4 yards easy before one of those safeties could come up and clean up. If they packed it in, that's when you could maybe have a chance at breaking a long run. Because if they hit the wrong gap, then you're off to the races.
Right. Well, let's have a look at this. And again, this is coming from the duo blocking schemes. What we want to see here, obviously, now we've laid out the personnel packages. So we've got our two tight ends on your screen. That's going to be the right side of the screen for young Arch there. That's going to be the left side for him. We are looking for the double teams, certainly up front. This is a run down the middle. Let's have a look at this. And I mean, as far as that setup, I don't know that you, with the exception of maybe, you know, housing it, that's a pretty effective play call. Because again, I think the defense has a really good idea of what's coming for them.
Yeah. In this case, this really went awry for them because Texas didn't even really bother with the double teams.
Yeah, we noticed that Jake just bails on it, just picks up the middle linebacker.
Yeah, so they're just releasing people down the field on defenders very quickly.
Yeah. When you're watching this at all, I want everybody to watch the center, our Jake Majors. He clearly does his due diligence and looks for the double team, sees nothing, and it's like, fine, I'll just take this mic.
Yeah.
Oh, there we go.
They even, Gunnar Helm ended up not getting much double team help either, and having to block a defensive end one-on-one. If the Longhorns had not dominated the middle of the field, the outcome of Helm's block would probably have been negative for this play. But you can see the idea really with Duo is you can create nasty cutbacks. And if you can watch Juan Davis, the trick, this is a trick of Duo a lot of times, is they have Matthew Golden on the outside and Juan Davis blocks out on the bigger guy. And then Matthew Golden loops inside of him to lead block
on number seven.
On number seven, which is, that's why people call Duo a gap scheme. It's because it looks like inside zone, it looks like a straight ahead run, there's no pullers. But then you get little wrinkles like that where you can see the gap elements where one guy is almost like pulling. And then Juan Davis is more executing the power kickout block than he is an inside zone type of block.
Yeah.
So if you run it one more time, you'll see Juan Davis block out on 16 and Golden loop inside for the defensive back.
But again, like, no, they didn't need to do it. I mean, his assignment was totally unnecessary. So he just takes out the safety instead. I mean, it was, I feel like this is a good example of, you know, adapting essentially. The players check their first assignment. That's, they find that's wholly unnecessary. So they go ahead and take the next man up.
Well, anyway, this is, the idea is that you have all these tight ends on the perimeter and you end up a lot of times with cutbacks in that direction. Because as you pack on extra bodies, the defense runs out of big people to stand in your way. And then the ball ends up going there and your little people get run over. Unless you're just worn out and Jake Majors is coming straight at you, in which case the ball can go straight inside.
So now let's look at another example. Now, this is going to be specifically an RPO play. Now, for the kids playing at home, real quick, Ian, what is RPO?
Yeah, it may have to be another video, huh?
I think that's probably another video, but let's we can at least break down the acronym.
RPO means run pass option. RPOs are why college offenses live in shotgun personnel. The quarterback will snap the ball. The offensive line is blocking for a run. He turns and he puts the ball out for the running back. But as he does that, he watches how the defense guards one or more of his receivers. And if they don't guard them, then instead of handing off, he pulls the ball away from the running back and throws to the receiver.
And why are RPOs so dangerous, specifically out of a 12 personnel?
That's the perfect question, LC. Texas is in 12 personnel again. Juan David, Gunnar Helm is the big guy on the end of the line on the Arch Manning's left. Juan Davis's wing outside of him to his left. And so you have this extended surface again. You have the possibility of duo or some other kind of power run. And so the defense is like, okay, we got to pack extra bodies around the line of scrimmage. Okay, well, if you do that, or if you have the safeties come down to answer for all these big bodies, then your cornerbacks are either on an island with the receivers outside, or like they are here, instead of being like an island in press coverage, they just drop way back and they just say, well, we're going to make sure you can't throw the ball over the top on play action. But if you pull the ball and throw it underneath on a little quick pass, we're going to take our chances. And so that's what Mississippi State chose to do on this play. Basically, it's a game theory. If you threaten the box with a whole bunch of people, then the defensive response will often give you space outside. Just like how in spread, if you go watch spread 101, our other video that we're plugging.
Just, we're killing it today. Good job.
In the spread offense, you put people out wide. The defense responds by putting their people out wide. Now you have fewer people if you just want to run it downhill inside.
Well, let's look at this one. So this is a great example. I mean, really good job by Arch here, selling the run. Let's watch this at full speed again.
His release is extremely quick.
It's extremely quick. I think for the folks playing at home, sometimes it's really, obviously it's super fun to watch the ball and the quarterback, but watch the defense on this play. See where they bite, how they bite. Because that is going to be really illustrative in why the RPOs are so effective out of this formation or rather this personnel package.
Everybody sucked in. Even the safety who's outside to the side that they throw to, the safety is shallower than the corner and at about the depth of the pass by the time Arch Manning throws it out there.
And it's we sometimes it's easy to look at the big movements that happen, especially on TV, especially if you've got 22 people that you're watching at the same time. But let's look at the top of the field there. I want you to watch what that safety does. That one step really slows him down. And this is a Division I athlete that plays in the SEC. This is a super fast dude. But that one step can really open up opportunities. So let's have a look at that. So again, he has to take that little stutter step in on the off chance that it is a run. And he still he's got phenomenal recovery speed, but he's definitely buying time for that outside receiver.
He's playing pretty well in control, probably with the understanding that this is a risk of the way sure. they're playing, but it's still, it's a free, how many yards does Texas get on this play? Like
15, maybe
15 yards on just a quick, easy pass to a wide open guy. Receiver just turns and stops. That's all he does.
Yeah.
Now, if you go try this in your backyard, you'll find that the timing and maybe not as easy as it looks, but it's and for an SEC athlete, that's pretty easy. Also, if you haven't watched our counter series video,
man, just crushing it. I mean, I
feel bad. The offensive line is blocking what you would call H or GH counter.
All the links that Homer's going to have to put in the description of this is just insane. It's just a hyperlink central. Let's just look at the final example we've got here. And this is just from its inception. This is going to be a pass play. So let's have a look at this. Now, is this our favorite wheel route? Is that what we're seeing?
That's a good question. I actually don't remember.
I don't think this is our wheel route now that I look at it, but
it's not our favorite, but it might be a variety of it. What's interesting about this one is that kind of a unique way to run snag is what that looks like. And we'll probably never do a video on that. What's interesting here is
we're really getting into the weeds. Okay. I'm sorry.
They have Gunnar Helm. But he's flexed out of the formation like a receiver. And Gunnar Helm, he's always easy to see to spot because he's the huge white guy, is going to run the wheel route where he runs around the other two receivers just before the snap.
And this is at the top of the screen for those.
At the top of the screen. Yep. To Helm's left, still also cloaked in shadow like Helm is Juan Davis, the other tight end. So Texas is in a spread formation right now. But they're in a spread formation in 12 personnel. The reason you do that, it's another game theory deal. If I have extra big people on the field, if I have an extra tight end on the field, then as a defense, you're in your huddle. This is the way it works, is between every play, the other team has a guy with binoculars, and they make sure, who are they putting on the field? Oh, they're putting in their 12 personnel. They're putting in their 11 personnel. When they play in 12, that means we play this defensive personnel and you're orienting yourself towards matching up size against size, usually. So the guy with binoculars says, it's 12. The defensive coordinator says, send in our 12 personnel stopping defensive package.
That
will often include extra big defenders, an extra linebacker, an extra defensive lineman, okay? So now your defense has fewer people that can run and cover and more people that can fight blocks and tackle. But all of a sudden, Sark uses his big people and he puts them out in space as receivers. So now as the defense, you're defending a spread passing concept with your not spread pass stopping people. And what gets Mississippi State on this play is that they have to make a choice because there's all these guys at the top of the field and on the bottom is Matthew Golden all by his lonesome. And Helm goes in motion and there's all sorts of shenanigans and you have to figure out as a defense, are we going to load up to stop the big people? Are we going to try to stop the big people with other big people? Or do we waste our best coverage people? If we only use big people, we have to look out because Helm is their leading receiver also. And Juan Davis can catch too, and he's also pretty quick. The upshot is that the guy on bottom, Matthew Golden, much like on the RPO, finds himself in just wide open real estate. And it's an easy pitch and catch. You can see that there again, love the trick of that quickly timed pitch route. It's well thrown. It's pretty well thrown and the timing is great, but it's a kind of a long throw and it puts Golden a little bit on his wrong shoulder and he falls down instead of picking up a couple extra yards. You'll find that happens if you try to run this with kids.
The three examples that we've seen so far in 12 personnel have had the tight ends on the same side of the ball. Do we ever see them on either side of the tackle?
Yes, but usually when Sark does that, he pulls one to the other side.
Right.
Because you put them on opposite sides, and then you figure out which side ends up with a little person, and then you pull the other tight end over so he can go bully the little person.
Right.
So there, I mean, you can run any number of formations and put the tight ends wherever you want. But Sark loves 12 personnel because he likes to play games. He likes to manipulate. If I put two big people on the field and I put them here and here, here and here, what are you going to do in response? How are you going to match up in response? And then my play is going to be designed to punish you for the choice you made. Sark is very, very good at doing this in 12 personnel. There have been times when I've been like, Sark, you don't even have that good of a tight end on the field right now. Why are you using this formation so much?
And how does he respond when you say that to the television?
He is extremely rude.
Yeah, stone cold.
And what happens is that I quickly find out why he's doing it, because I see how easily he manipulates defenses to create opportunities for his best players. This will be something really interesting to watch in 2025 in particular. This is probably the least experienced and least proven tight end room Texas has ever had under Sark, save maybe for his first year. And we'll see if he still uses it a lot, if he still is able to crush people with it. You probably don't want to bet against him because he's just so clever with this stuff. And a lot of other offensive coordinators don't do this as much. So not only is he very clever, but some of the things he does in 12 personnel, opponents, they don't have like a deep institutional knowledge of how to respond because they don't get it as often.
Nailed it. Once again, man, the gifts that you keep giving to the people, Ian, you are very generous and benevolent overlord. Thank you so much for being here. Check us out at InsideTexas.com. Obviously, we referenced a lot of other videos in this. Ian and I have been at this a little while now, and we've trying to build up the vocabulary of the fan base, especially those at InsideTexas.com who already have a pretty high vocabulary when it comes to this stuff. But again, we want you sitting next to that annoying person at the bar or at home and just dominating them with your knowledge. Thanks so much. We'll see you next time.